Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. The CFTC, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, has charged the former CEO of MF Global, John Corzine, with misusing nearly $1 billion in customer money as that firm went down in flames and collapsed in 2011. Corzine is a former senator from New Jersey as well as a governor of that state, and he was also the CEO of Goldman Sachs. The CFTC is a federal regulator that's little known beyond Wall Street, but it's been taking a much more aggressive role in trying to stop excessive risk-taking in the financial markets. In fact, it's in a battle right now over issuing new rules to prevent future financial crises. With me, Joe Nocera with The New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. And Joe, you've called the CFTC the little agency that could. How significant is it that it brought these charges against Corzine over the collapse of MF Global?
It's a pretty big deal. This is the first time, really, since the financial crisis that a CEO is being held accountable for the actions of his firm. So the CFTC isn't even arguing that Corzine knew necessarily that the $1 billion that was being used to try and save the company was customer assets, which is the biggest no-no in the business. But they basically said, look, he's the top guy. They didn't have any money. Where in the world did he think the $1 billion was coming from? And he should have known. It was his responsibility. And that's exactly what you have not seen time after time after time with other CEOs whose firms got into trouble.
Well, with this action that happened at MF Global, what in the end happened to the customer's money?
Well, the firm took money that was supposed to be segregated, that belonged to customers. It was customers' trading money, and pulled it into the firm to try to use it as a backstop to keep the firm from spiraling under. So they were basically stealing their customers' money. It's really that simple. And then when the firm finally folded, there was a giant billion-dollar hole where there was supposed to be money for customers.
And have they replaced that hole? Have they replaced customers?
Well, some of the money's been replaced, not all of it. And one of the things that happened with the settlement that was reached with MF Global this week was that they have promised to reimburse all the customers 100%, which is what it should have happened from day one, really.
Rana, you've spent time with the chief of the CFTC, Gary Gensler. He's been struggling to issue new rules having to do with overseas trading activities. What's at stake there?
Well, a lot. Several billion dollars of the kinds of potentially risky trades that got us in trouble during the financial crisis. I did a big profile last year on Gensler, and this is something that he's been looking at for a couple of years now. And the key thing is to try and get a global set of rules that will make the trading of derivatives, which are these sort of complex and sometimes risky securities that got, say, AIG in trouble, more transparent, make the reporting better, and ultimately make the financial system safer. One of the key problems is that each different country around the world and each of the major trading centers, New York, London, parts of Asia, have different rules. And so he is trying to make sure that not only do all U.S. registered players, so the big banks, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, et cetera, not only do they have to abide by these rules, but they have to abide by them when they do overseas trades, which counts for about 50% of that kind of trading that they do. And also European players and other overseas players have to abide by our rules.
And so to compound the issue, Gensler is by far the toughest regulator in Washington. He has been ever since the crisis. And let's be honest here. The banks hate him. They hate him. They want him out.
He is the most hated man on Wall Street.
And
no question.
He has been pushing hard to institute these tough rules against all kinds of opposition, not just from the banks themselves, but actually from European countries.
And, you know, one of the really important things and reasons that Gensler has been so effective is that he was part of the team working with Bob Rubin and others that actually crafted some of the legislation that weakened the system. So, you know, this is a guy that has incredible perspective on both sides of the fence here.
Well, does that explain partially if the banks don't like him, why we're hearing reports most recently in the Financial Times that he may be replaced as soon as July? His term actually expired over a year ago. If he were to be replaced this quickly, what does that mean for the agency going forward?
I think it would be really hard to find someone as tough as Gensler. Like Joe's saying, he is the only one that has really consistently, since the crisis, been able to stand up to the bank. So I think it's a huge loss.
Well, finally, let's take a look at some of the other stories we're watching. Joe, what are you paying attention to?
Well, gay marriage and taxes, of course.
Of course.
well, one consequence of the Supreme Court's ruling this week is that gay spouses will have a legal right to federal benefits, which also means they'll have a legal right to, for instance, corporate health benefits. Previously, companies had to decide whether to either dock the pay of the gay employee to get the spouse on health insurance or to tax or to increase their pay to cover the taxes. Now you will have the same situation as straight couples where your spouse can get health insurance with no tax consequences. And, you know, that's one of the many, many, many benefits.
But there's going to be a lot of complications for businesses themselves to try and figure out what they do in each individual state, depending on what the laws are, whether or not they allow gay marriage in that state. That's going to be complicated.
They surely will, and it will cause some headaches for multinationals companies like GE and Microsoft. But the truth of the matter is, by and large, and this is an overstatement, I realize, but by and large companies in America are pro-gay marriage, and they're going to do what they have to do to try and make this work from a benefit standpoint.
Rana, what are you paying attention to?
So I've been looking at the plunge in gold prices, which I find really interesting because I think it says a lot about the recovery. Gold is often used as an inflation hedge. But the truth is, despite many predictions, there's really no sign of inflation in the economy right now. And that has important implications because the big story over the last couple of weeks about the Fed tapering off of its asset buying program is predicated on the idea that the economy is in recovery. And I actually think that the plunge in gold and expectations of low inflation mean that the economy is still pretty weak.
So even with the gay marriage being approved, we won't see gold prices going up as there's maybe more weddings?
Gonna guess not. The Indians and Chinese have stopped buying as much. So that's a big tell.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can take this program with you as a podcast, available for free on iTunes. Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine and Joe Nocera with The New York Times. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.